How many saw that movie with Russell Crowe? I guess it was many years ago. I think it was called A Beautiful Mind. Anybody? You know, when he read stuff and he looked at stuff, the movie visualized these words coming out and standing out to him. You know, and so when you read, as you try to learn, so that you can show somebody something, you know, you can read what you've just read. And sometimes it's hard to explain what's going on in your mind and put it in terms that people can understand or that even make sense. But when you read and you start to look at things, certain things pop out at you. So I'm going to read this verse, 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Any words stand out? Any group of words stand out to you when you read that? There's no right or wrong answer here. It's just when you read, God is speaking to you. He's trying to show you something. The very first time that I read this verse was right in the middle of 25. If God perhaps will grant them repentance. That was the first thing when I remember reading this, as I was trying to study, not just reading through, but as I was trying to study, I thought, wait a minute. I thought I decided about repentance. And this verse says that if God perhaps will grant me repentance. But as I read more and more, and I tried to study more and more, and tried to learn more things start to stick out. Because what I realized about if God perhaps will grant them repentance, what that means is it was Him that I offended. He didn't offend me, I offended Him. He has to be the one to decide, you know, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to offer them forgiveness. Because if He hadn't have done that, then it wouldn't matter what I would say. He would just been like, no, not listening. Not going to talk to you. I don't want to hear it. And you're like, well, if you just give me a second, I don't want to hear it. And so when the first thing that stood out to me, God showed me something. It made me realize that there was really a God, really a person, really somebody that I have offended with my choices in life. But as time goes on, these words, as I was reading later to try to learn something and to show something, these things stood out with me. A servant of the Lord. Not quarrel. In humility, correcting. I mean, if we talk about humility, I think we understand what being humble is about a little bit. Don't, in the purest, rarest forms it could be, is that don't bite somebody's head off, give them a chance. Okay? If you can't understand anything more about humility, give them a chance to speak. You say what you want to say, you let them say what they want to say. If you can't understand any more about humility, that's understanding that it's not just about you. There's something else going on in this circumstance. But as a teacher, it's not humility that was the stumbling block here. Not that I don't have room to grow in being humble, but it says correcting those. I have to learn humility, not so that it just keeps me humble, but as a teacher, I've got to start doing something with that humility. I've got to put it in action because I've got to start correcting others. Good day. And then I started looking. Because there's people in opposition to God. That's why we correct them. Notice how I said we, not just me. See, we all have a responsibility to be servants of the Lord. Because He's not just talking about me. To be servants of the Lord, to stand in that gap, to correct those who live, teach, talk, and practice in opposition to God. Because by doing this, God may grant that person that you're trying to teach repentance from what they are doing that they don't know they're doing, so that they may know the truth. See, did you catch how all that went together? Without you, in humility, and if you ever wonder, if you ever think, how can I come to somebody in humility, because this is the worst thing that I could possibly say, how can I do that? Then do this. Come to them and say, I don't know how to tell you this, but I want you to know I don't mean anything by it. I'm not trying to hurt you. It's really hard for somebody to think that I think I'm better than you if I'm like this. And if you've got to go to somebody and you've got to tell them, and then you know they're going to hate you for it, you practice that humility that you've learned. And you tell them, I've got to tell you this, and I don't know how to say it. Because in that humility, they will never know that they are in opposition to God, and they will never be offered that chance of repentance if you don't correct them to see the truth. It's an action word. Correct. You teach your children, you teach your dogs, you teach your, I don't know, you teach. Part of learning something is correcting the things that are going wrong. And if you don't do that, no one's ever going to know that you're doing something wrong. You would think, looking around, that people would realize that how they're living and what they're living by and what they're living for and what they're preaching is wrong. They don't know it's wrong because everybody's telling them that it's okay. It is up to you to tell them it's wrong. Not an easy place to be, is it? But look, you're doing this because verse 26 says that by you coming to them, not arguing with them, correcting them in humility because they live in opposition to God, that you'll grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, because they have been taken captive by the devil to do his will. You've got friends, you've got family that are walking around like this. This is a spiritual picture, just like in Revelation, you go to the church where it says that these people were poor, blind, and naked. We all have clothes on, but God is talking about spiritually naked before Him. He's talking about that they were blind before Him. So here they are as a spiritual picture, and you have your families that's walking around like this, and you say, hey, come with me to church. I can't. Why can't you? I got to go over here. Well, why you got to go over there? Because it's more fun over here. You're getting ready to walk off a cliff. No, that's not a cliff. That's fun. You're getting ready to die. I'm not getting ready to die. I'm having fun. And they're being led around by the devil. Taken captive by him. That's your friends. That's your family. And they are held captive by the devil to do his will. He's just laughing. And you're trying to get them to, oh, here. Come to their senses. And you know what happens when they come to their senses? Melvin just said it this morning. You lose your friends. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that this is not fun. I like this over here. I don't want to come over here. I like this. But your hands are bound and your eyes are blinded and you can't see. I like being this way. No, you don't. You just don't know what you're doing. I'm trying to get you to see. All of this starts with one word. What is that word? Servant. All of this starts because a servant of the Lord steps into this picture. A true God breathed, Holy Spirit born, blood of Christ cleansed, new creature stands before them who fears neither life nor death. And they're going to show them the truth. A servant of the Lord. You know what a servant of the Lord is? Well, sure you do, right? We're here. We read our Bible, we go to church, we invite people to church. That's a servant of the Lord, right? I mean, we're doing God's will. We're a servant. We do what He wants. We come to church, we take communion, we give a little bit of our money, we give a little bit of our time, which, if y'all remember, is what I wrote on my card. One of my extreme shortcomings. We're doing God's will. So we're a servant of the Lord, right? But let's look that word up. This is what a teacher does. Because, and I almost fell a couple weeks ago, but as you walk, that word trips you up. I can't get past it. Every time I read that verse, that word is going to get me. I got to know what he's talking about. I got to know what a servant of the Lord is. I mean, I know my idea as a servant, but I thought repentance was mine to give too, right? He grants it, not me. I thought, you know, maybe I better look this word up. I'm going to be teaching people what it means. I can't just let them think that a servant of the Lord is somebody who shows up. Maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's not. You look up that word, a servant of the Lord, it's a New Testament, it's from Strong's New Testament 1401. It means a slave. Literal, figurative, involuntary, or voluntary. Whether if you want it, you don't want it. Whether if you believe it, you don't believe it. Whether if you work towards it or not. Whether if you are using it as an example to talk about a certain group of people, or if you're using it as an example to show something. If you're reading it in a book or you're living it. However you are, that word servant means a slave. Does that put it in a little different perspective? Does a slave have a choice to come here this morning? Did a slave have a choice whether if they wanted to leave their families? To stand in opposition to the world? Does a slave have a choice whether if he's clothed or dressed? God gives you that choice. The devil does not. Both are a slave. Because there are those that serve Satan and there are those that serve God. And remember, the ones that are serving Satan aren't the ones running around that have insignias on their head or their arms and they wear black and they're gothic looking. They didn't even know they were doing it. Come to church. No, I got to walk off this cliff. I'll see you later. Didn't know. Romans 6:16 says, "Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, that you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness?" Same word. A slave of the Lord must not. Same word. And God is telling us that a slave is held captive to do the bidding of the master. Whether if it is sin or obedience. Either way, you are bound by something. You are either following God or you are not. There are no good old boy rules here. There is no second chances. There are no free passes. You are either serving God today or you are following Satan. And either way, you are a slave to one of those choices. And it is a choice. People find themselves in situations because they choose not to act. People find themselves in situations because they won't make the right choice. They won't make the tough choices that have to be done to make changes in their life. Matthew says, you can't serve two masters. You are going to love one and hate the other. If your heart is set on living the life that you have always dreamed, and as we're getting older, I start thinking about retirement and I start thinking what I would like to do with my life. And I don't know if you've ever sat at the beach and closed your eyes and let the sun warm you and you hear those waves coming in. You said that the other day, and I agree, it's pretty much the best place you can be. You can't stay there for very long, but it's a pretty nice place. And I thought, you know, it would be nice to retire to that kind of life. But I can't. Do you know why? I have people to teach. And as long as God will allow me to do that, I saw in good people that you don't stop trying to teach no matter what the outcome. And so this is where I'm going to be. And at times, that is a fight. It is a struggle. Because if I do not, then I will start to resent God because I can't have what I want. I can't retire and do the things that I want to do, and I'm going to start seeing Him as opposition. But instead, I see all of these visions and all of these things that could happen and how wonderful it really would be. And I see that as the opposition because I serve the Word of God. I am a slave to the Word of God. I am a servant of the Lord. Jesus told me, I got to be careful because if I don't see it that way, I'm going to start hating one and loving the other. Only one submission is voluntary. The other is taken from us with great swelling words of deception. You can go into 2 Peter 2:19 and you can read that. You see, God, even though that we are a slave to Him, and that's what a servant means, He gives us a choice. I didn't have somebody this morning that I was laying there sleeping and I was like, oh man, I roll over and I thought, oh, I stretch and my bones start popping and I'm like, oh yeah, and I just lay back down and I didn't, what? Time to get up, Calvin. It's time to go to church. Time to get out of that bed. Come on, let's go. Time to get up. Nobody did that to me this morning. But if I was on the other side of the fence, I'd be chained to that bed. My phone going off. I pick it up and, oh, it's my brother. He's going to invite me to church. Push the phone back down. See, I'm tied to that bed. I'm not given the choice. I mean, I'm given the choice, but the devil's got me there. Nobody made me get up this morning. I did that because I'm a servant of God. Only one submission is voluntary. The other is taking from us. It's okay that I lay in that bed. Oh, it's okay. You can just stay in that bed. Oh, feel how warm it is and soft. And the next thing you know, you go back into dreamy, sleepy land. Because I'm rocked to sleep because my choice is taken away from me with deceptive ideas. It's okay. You see, what we read, we just read what that word meant, slave. It comes from this word, New Testament 12:10. It's a primary verb, to bind, in various applications, literally or figuratively. So when I was telling you that they had them bound like this, come on, let's go to church. I can't. I got to go walk off this cliff. I'll see you later. Their hands are bound and they're being led away. But see, my hands are also bound too. You know what my hands are bound in? I don't get to come this morning and try to figure out what it would take to tell you what you want to hear so that you'll come back. I don't get that choice. I don't get to try to think, What does this community need to fill up these seats? What do these people want to hear to bring them through these doors? You know why? Because the Word of God has bound my hands. But I actively have to make that choice to say what God wants me to say. I don't get a choice. I mean, I do have a choice, but I am a slave to God. Mark 15:1. Let me close. Immediately in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. That word bound right there, slave come from that word. So when Jesus was bound and led away to Pilate, he was physically bound that you are going to face this man for what you have said and what you have done. But it wasn't that that held Jesus there. We all know that, right? He made that choice before his hands were ever bound. He made that choice before anybody came and grabbed him and took him away from his followers. He made that choice. Remember? It was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he stood there and he prayed. And he prayed so hard, the Bible says that his sweat was like blood running from him. He was praying for his very life. And he made that choice. My will or yours, I choose yours. Help me walk that line. And then when Pilate come and bound him up and led him away, Jesus said, I've already bound myself to God. You put your restraints on me and you tell me and you stand before me. But understand this, I stand here in chains, but no authority do you have over me unless my Father had given it to you. So you do what you think you have to. But he had already bound his hands. He was going to do what God wanted. Jesus was not taken against his will, and we just talked about this. The chains that bound him were not from Pilate, but the righteousness of the Father. We talked about a witness this morning. We talked about an example this morning. If he would have walked away from what the Father would have done, how would that have made God look? Kind of iffy, kind of shaky, right? Come on, let's do this. Let's get this done. And then, this is a little harder than I thought it was going to be. Every Sunday I got to do a lesson. I don't know, maybe every other Sunday, maybe we could split the responsibilities, you know? Harder than I thought it was going to be, but no, God told Jesus what he expected through his word. He read and saw that he was going to be led away and be crucified. And Jesus had to make that choice that he was going to be bound by God or he was going to be bound by the riches of the world. That's what Satan offered him. See, the gospel message, the blood of Christ, the Holy Spirit is the breaker of chains in this life. 1 John 5:6-8. It is the truth that sets us free. God did not come to tie our hands. God came to save us from this world. And if our hands are tied, it is because they need to have boundaries for us to live. We're given a little bit of grace. We're given a little bit of mercy. But we're not given the choices to make on the plans of salvation, how we think God ought to do, and whether if we come to church or not. There's just a few things that I mentioned in this morning. I see this is what a teacher does. You trace that word down. It's almost like you're looking, it's like, what do they call them things? Treasure hunts? And you find one clue that relates to another. And you go over here, and you start digging these words. It says this word came from this word. I don't really know if I want to know what that word is because this one right here has gotten a little bit tougher. So you dig and you, pretty easy, you just click on it or touch on it. If you're on your phone, it'll pull it right up and it'll tell you what that word means, where it came from. So that word slave came from the word bind, and the word bind came from this word. New Testament 11:63. It was necessary. A servant comes down to where it was necessary for it to be this way. We just talked about Jesus. He made the commitment that he was going to be bound to God's word and God's plan before anyone put their hands on him. And the Bible says it was necessary. Was it necessary that Jesus went through what he did for us? It certainly was. So when God's word tells you you are a slave to the word, it is saying, that word is saying, telling you that it is necessary for you to go through what you go through for the sake of God. And if you could back out, then Jesus could have backed out. But he couldn't back out, could he? Neither can we. Because he was bound to the living God. He was a slave to God. Jesus was not led away a slave in chains by this world, but he was a slave to the Word of God so that he might save this world. It's my last slide. Luke 24:6-7. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you that while he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men. That word must come from the word bound, which came from the word slave, which we translate as servant. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day raised again. I'm trying to get us to see we don't have a choice in how we interpret the Word of God. It's already been interpreted. The Bible even says that, word for word. The Scripture is of no private interpretation, but as the Holy Spirit moved, men of God wrote. This is telling us here that Jesus had to be delivered into the hands of sinful men because he was a slave of the Word of God. But yet, where we get all that information from, guess where? It's talking about us. A servant of the Lord. So when he tells us that we must correct others in humility, those that are opposing, he's not giving us an option. We're a slave to those words. Just as Jesus had to be delivered to the hands of sinful men. Did he have a choice? He did. Make your choice. Today's the day. Make your choice. Do you know that tomorrow is going to come? Are you that confident that you're going to get in this car and drive out of here and you'll see the sun rise up again because you did it this morning? Make your choice. Jesus had to make his choice. He was either going to run or he was either going to stand in the face of what God had laid out for him. We are a slave to Scripture. The Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinful men. John 3:5-7. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. That is the same word that come from bound. That is the same word that come from servant, which I have said means slave. You do not have a choice to change this gospel. He says you must be born again. Just as Jesus had to be delivered into the hands of sinful men so that this whole process could even be started. We are a slave to the only plan of salvation. If you go against this plan of salvation, you are not following God. Your hands are bound and you are being led. This is just great. Come over here. This is a wonderful place to be. But then the people that know the truth, they see. They're like, your hands are tied. You're heading straight for a brick wall. Oh, I'm not, man. This is great. Even if I am, this is such a lovely ride. I wouldn't change nothing. And you're just being led away. And your hands are bound. We're a slave to the only plan of salvation. We don't go to places and condone things that don't fit within the realm that God has placed them. Make your choice. Did Jesus have to go and be delivered to the hands of sinful men? We're not given a choice of what plan of salvation we want to follow. And then we lose friends. And we lose family. Because they don't think that they're a slave to anything. Nobody's going to tell them what they're going to think about God. They're going to come up with that idea on their own. 2 Corinthians. See, this was about Jesus, so I'll bring it back to us, because really it was started out talking about us. We had to look at all this other stuff to really see the depth of what God was trying to show us. 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or whether bad. Just as Jesus had made the commitment that he was going to be bound by the Word of God, boy, the world come right after him and bound his own hands and said, we're going to lead you away and we're going to kill you. And he said, you don't lead me anywhere. I follow God. Get out of my way. He still was led to the cross, but it wasn't their will. That was God's that he was following. But here, that word must is the same one that we have been talking about, that came from bound, that came from slave, which is translated servant. As sure as you are here today, and you believe, and you call yourself, and you practice, and you live that life, that you are a servant of God, you are bound by that commitment that you have made to God. He says, by that commitment, you will stand before me. You are either a slave to that choice, or you are a slave to the one where you will stand before me in disgrace. Either way, you will stand before me. So make your choice. It wasn't the only choice that Jesus brought. It was in the Old Testament. Joshua said, choose for yourself whom today you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God has told you before, He said, I set before you blessings and curses. Choose life so that you may live. It's always been about our choice. But God binds us by the Word of God in love, or the devil binds us in deception. And even though our hands are bound by the Word of God, God is so graceful and merciful. He gives you time to come to the realization that the binding that you have right here is not that your hands are bound like this, like Satan has you, but that your hands are bound like this, where you hold his hand. You're not bound by anything on this world. They can take your house. They can take your life. They can take your happiness. And God says, I will give it back to you. You're holding my hand. You are bound to me. And heaven and earth will fall away before I let go of your hand. That's not enough for some people. You see, for on this day that Corinthians is talking about, the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to want to show ourselves that we were a servant of Jesus. Do you consider yourself a slave today? If you're serving God, is it such a burden that you would consider yourself a slave today? No. You would stand before God and you would, before the judgment seat of Christ, and you would consider yourself that you were a servant of His. Not a slave. What the word means. But you chose to put yourself there. You chose to put yourself in bondage of the Word. You chose to put yourself in bondage of the truth. You chose to put yourself in bondage of forgiveness. The world didn't do that. They were trying to bind your hands together. So you choose. It has to start with a choice. And that choice comes to the gospel message that is given. Because you can say what you want. You can say that I believe this, I've heard this. But this Bible that tells us about Christ, that tells about His life and His death and how He raised, this Bible tells you to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you will receive the presence of His Holy Spirit. And he tells you that's a promise that will last throughout eternity. Man makes promises, but when man dies, those promises die with him. Jesus said, I was once dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. And the promises that he made, he can keep. So whose slave are you today? Are you a servant of the living God? Did you come into this building thinking you were a servant of the living God? Did you walk into this building knowing you were a servant of the living God? Or did you come in this building today and realize you're not a servant of the living God? Make your choice. But either way, God is going to bind you to that choice. So what's your decision as we stand, as we sing our hymn of invitation?